This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's show is Ask Bill. That's right, we haven't done one of these in a while. This is our regular Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets and Quora.com. In today's episode, I'm going to be covering a cross-section, a mixture of some Quora questions and some actual emails that I received. And their topics include: what's the best way to start investing in real estate with little or no cash? How can I make $10,000 per month investing in real estate? We're going to talk a little bit about LoopNet and foreign investors. So good mix of stuff today. Now, one of our goals here at the Old Dogs REI Network is to help educate and encourage fellow real estate investors to share what knowledge I have with anybody that's willing to listen here. No, but seriously, by answering questions and help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that can cost you later. You know, I might just add to this, you know, some people may go, well, Bill, you know, we know you've only been investing since 2014. I mean, how much do you know? And to answer your question, not much. No, just kidding. What has been really exciting about having this podcast is I have had the opportunity to interview some of the best minds in real estate investing. This episode is episode 370. Okay, so that's 370 episodes. Now, granted, Friday episodes are usually just me, but you know, even if you take half of that, the number of people I've talked to that has just been an amazing information that I love to share with people as well. I've had amazing guests and a lot of good stuff. And plus, I have my own practical in the trenches experience as well, but not, you know, 20 years worth or 30 years with. All right, well, you usually like to start with a tip, but you know, this is there are a lot of tips that are going to come in here in the Ask Bill episodes. We always share a few tips. So let's just jump into these questions. First one: what's the best way to start investing in real estate with little or no cash? This is one I get asked a lot from a lot of different folks in person and as well as in emails and Quora especially. So this is a kind of a loaded question, and there are entire books written on this. And I think one of the best of them is a book that was written by Brandon Turner, and it's called Investing in Real Estate with No or Low Money Down. And that's a great book, great resource. And it's got a lot of good tips in it, but there are tons of programs, No Money Down seminars and things like that, that address a lot of different ways to do this. But just on a general sense, okay, you know, one of the most obvious ways is when you don't have any money is to find people who do have money. And it may be a family member. It may be a real estate investor. It could be any number of folks. You could get very sophisticated and move into anything from, you know, hard money lending, you know, getting a hard money loan, which is a little bit easier to get than a conventional loan. And it relies primarily on the equity or the value of the property. There's syndication in other ways as well that that can also bring in funds for you. There is a company that gets a lot of attention that basically will set up for you if you don't have access to funds. They'll help you to set up your own business, get you a company tax ID, and they basically find zero interest credit cards for you that you can use. And the idea is that you use it for short term funding. So if you're flipping or if you're wholesaling or doing something like that where you're going to replenish that money right away, that's the trick, because if you hold on to it too long, it no longer is a 0% loan, and you're going to get stuck with some high fees and so forth. But it's a way that a lot of folks have got their start as well, and it doesn't necessarily rely upon your credit score or your ability to necessarily pay it once this little company is set up on its own. So that's a possibility. I'll put a link to a company that does that. They do charge. They charge you probably about $3,000 to do it, but they'll put it on your first credit card. So you just start. I hate credit cards and I hate that debt mentality, but it's a way to do it. There's also HELOCs, which a lot of people have done that I've interviewed, that started out with very little and just built a huge portfolio just based on the HELOC that helped them get started. But one of the most common areas is in wholesaling. That's one area that you'll see a lot of folks that you really don't need anything but to be able to find somebody that wants to sell and somebody who wants to buy. And you're sort of the middle person there who this person needs to get rid of their house for some reason or another. Maybe they've got bills they can't, it's a foreclosure, they have liens, they owe taxes on it, they have other things that have, maybe there's a divorce or what have you, and they just want to get rid of the property. Sometimes they inherit the property and they don't really want it, and they have to get rid of it and want to get rid of it quickly. So you come in and you basically will say, hey, you take this under contract, you really aren't buying it for them, but they agree to let you sell it, and at a certain price, you find a buyer who pays more than that amount, and you get the difference. And that's how you get started. That's how you start getting money to get started. Some people are really buy and hold type people, or they own rental properties. But what they'll do is they'll maybe wholesale six houses, and like the sixth house, they'll make it a rental property, and then they'll wholesale six, and then they'll keep the sixth one, and they start building up their portfolio. So they got this cash flow coming in, and it's not like cash flow that's passive by any means. You have to work hard to find these properties, but that's something that works really well. And that's kind of the neat thing about real estate, believe it or not. It's one of the few ways you can become wealthy with little or no money and really create wealth from almost nothing, depending on how you get started. There are also a lot of free resources online that teach you about wholesaling. There's also programs and a lot of different ways to learn. We've had guests on our show that do wholesaling and also have programs that can train you on how to do that. One neat podcast we had was with a guy named Dan Breslin, and he was broke and unemployed, and he desperately sought out real estate investing as a solution to his dilemma. And he took seminars, he read a lot of books, but after 6 months, still he had not done anything. How many of us have been in that place, right? Where we just got all this information, but we're afraid to make the first step. So he was down to his last $150, and he bought a 7-day classified ad, which was sort of the typical way wholesalers do it. We buy houses, right? You've seen those signs and you've seen those ads. He paid $79 for it. And on the sixth day, he's ready to expire. He received a call from an old woman with a distressed house. And that call actually turned this guy around. He was able to wholesale her house. He leveraged it, and now he has a multi-million-dollar business, flipping houses in Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, and Tampa. So it's a great story, episode 221, if you get a chance, listen to it. But there are a lot of ways to get started. Also, we had Brandon Turner on, and he shared all about how to get started with little or no money down. So that's a you know, kind of a long answer. Sorry, went a little longer than usual. But hey, let's get to the next one. How can I make $10,000 a month investing in real estate? Easy. Okay, just got to start with a million. No, just kidding. There's a lot of different ways to make $10,000 a month, and it isn't just rental properties. There's a lot of different avenues and assets and strategies. But I would say that the simplest and the one most people can relate to is rental properties. And how do you do that? And when I got started, one of the first things I did is I really looked at what per door amount am I going to have for my cash flow for that property. That's how a lot of people just sort of estimate what they're going to need to achieve that goal. I conservatively use $100 per door. Now, if I can't make $100 a door in my rental properties, and that means after all expenses, after mortgage, after insurance, taxes, everything, that you've got $100 left over from that property, which is pure cash flow. That's kind of a way that I estimate things. But generally, what the reality is that I do make more than that. And there's some properties where I'll make $500 a door, and there'll be some where I'll make $300 a door. And there are those that will generate $100 a door. But, you can average it, and it just depends. And you just look at it. So let's say you're buying single-family homes, you buy 10 single-family homes, that's $100 a door. It's $1,000 right there. So you'd need 100 homes if you're on that same, that same strategy, you need 100 homes to get $10,000 per month. Now, if you're really good at getting a good spread there, or you're buying these homes for cash, you don't have a mortgage involved, you may be calculating at 300 a door. And so you're going to need a lot less. Maybe, instead of 100 houses, you're only going to need 33, bringing in 300 a door. So a little bit more than 34 to go over 10,000. But this is kind of a way that most people can sort of calculate what they're doing. Now, when I talk about a door, it doesn't have to be houses. So if you wanted to buy a 33-unit apartment where you can get $300 cash flow per unit, well, then you just have to buy that one apartment. And boom, there's your $10,000 a month. So there are a lot of different ways and strategies, but that's kind of how a lot of folks do it. Going to be going a lot more into Airbnb. We recently had Brian Page on. We're going to have another gentleman who is also crushing it in making millions on Airbnb. And it's, a little different if you're involved with Airbnb. Some people question whether or not that's really even real estate investing. But if you, for example, get a property, a lot of these guys do rental arbitrage where they don't even buy the properties. But if you own the property, it's much more lucrative. But if you have to rent a property and then you get an agreement from the owner to be able to use that as an Airbnb property, the average that these guys are saying for the most part is around $1,000 a month. You should be able to make over what you're paying on expenses, like the rent and the cable TV and whatever else you maybe have in that home and utilities and so forth. So you would need 10 Airbnb properties to be able to bring in $10,000 a month. So that's just a few ways to sort of look at it and to calculate for yourself what you need to do to bring in that extra income. A couple of really great questions here from people. This one was from Charles. He said, I listen to your podcast and find them interesting for newbies and so forth. But I want to make you aware of something that is a sort of a serious blind spot. So this is kind of a critical email, but I think it's a point well taken. And I think we had a podcast on how to locate the owner of a property. And generally, you'd go through the county records and so forth. But there are also, there's another avenue in there where people can hire people that will track down the actual owner and that person's phone number. And you can text them or call them directly. Well, this guy, he owns 60 rental properties in several states. And he says he gets these kinds of calls and texts all the time, and it drives them crazy. And last thing I want to do as a real estate investor is be another pain to another real estate investor. So, you know, this is something you need to be aware of. He says, you know, getting things in the mail is one thing, but, you know, having people invade your phones is another. And so I'm just saying, you know, I think Charles had a good point here. You know, when you do that, when you start calling people uninvited, I mean, how many of us get those calls and those texts all the time on our phones? It's getting out of hand. It's crazy. And I get it. And you know what, Charles, I'm sharing it with our folks here because this isn't really so much something I'm answering, but something that I'm cautioning people to do, that you could really put somebody off if you really get obnoxious on these kind of calls. Sometimes people do it when they've sort of mailed, they've made some contact, and they want to follow up. And, you know, so it's better to come in when they already know who you are, as opposed to just starting to blast them, you know, with this, you know, these phone texts. So just a good point, Charles. Thanks. And I am sharing that now with our listeners. Here's something from Tracy, and this is a really good point. She goes, first, I want to say thank you for all the advice you put on your podcast. I've been listening since June of this year. I'm one who is not quite old enough to be an old dog, but she's tired of her 8-to-5 hustle. And this spring, she decided to start testing the waters to look at real estate investing as a means to be able to get her out of the 8-to-5, 9-to-5 jam there. She goes, so far I've done 2 wholesales, 1 subject to, which I leased back to the owner, saving her from foreclosure, and decided to start property management. Okay, this is amazing. Okay, I gotta say, Tracy, you really, really are kicking it. I mean, jumping in like that. Wholesaling is not easy, especially when getting started out, but the fact that you've wholesaled 2 properties, you've done 1 subject to, and now you're looking at property manager. And then she goes, I've made some great contacts in Wichita, Kansas, and they're mentoring me very well. So she's going to learn how to do property management. Now, I mean, that's a great skill if you're going to get involved with rental properties, or maybe it's a great place to be to find rental properties. Maybe you'll work for a property management firm and find a property there. So she shared some stats on a deal that she found on LoopNet. And it sounded like a really potentially a good property. Now, I had, you know, some of my concerns with it. It's definitely a C property. I don't know the area at all, so I can't really say a lot about it. But a lot of the numbers made sense, and it looked like there was maybe some room in there for some value add. And this is on LoopNet. Now, I found my 22 unit in Indy on LoopNet, and I've been able to, at this point, we're, you know, quadruple the value of that property just through value add strategies. And so I'm not going to be the first one to, everybody says LoopNet is the place where properties go to die. And, you know, there's a ton of them on there where that is the truth. But if they're about ready to die, you know, you might have an owner who isn't ready to die yet, and they might be open to negotiation, especially if it's been on there for a long time. So you might be able to find some things on there. And then she closes her letter out with a PS, and that is, ow! that was pretty funny, Tracy. Thanks. But a couple more I received actually this week too, with some people that just wanted me to check their numbers, and I looked at them, and they were also LoopNet properties. And, you know, there's some decent stuff on there sometimes. I mean, I'm not going to be the first one to shoot it down, although it's hard to find good stuff on LoopNet. But if, you know, keep in mind, especially if it's an expired listing, people are more interested in talking if they can't sell it. They're going to be willing to negotiate. So there are some things. And keep in mind too, you can go on realtor.com and Zillow, and you can look under multifamily properties, and you'd be surprised what shows up there. So that these are, you know, just a couple of tips for you. I said I'd give you some tips today. You know, there's a way you can also do a search on LoopNet for expired listings, ones that didn't sell. So just an FYI, okay? Okay. And this one was from Gerardo, and he says, hi, I live in Israel. I'm almost 50, and I'm an avid follower of the podcast. You have a great show. Definitely my favorite. Well, did he really say that? Or did I just throw that in there? No, it was very nice of him to say that. But he goes, I'm pretty new in REI in the US, and it's quite difficult to do as a foreign investor. I try to learn as much as possible from yours and other shows, but it would be great if you could dedicate one episode to investing aspects for foreign investors. And he goes, thank you anyway for the valuable information that you share. Best regards, Gerardo. Be Gerardo. I may be pronouncing it wrong. Pardon me if I do. So this is what, you know, this is kind of the situation, which is kind of interesting. Okay. We are podcast airs in 78 different countries. Okay. Of course, it's predominantly in the US, being an English language podcast. And being that most people can't understand me anyway, except maybe a few people in California. But, and that happens to be our top state, by the way, California, followed by Texas, Florida, Georgia, New York. Okay. And then it starts going into the other countries. We have, of course, you know, who do you think would be the second biggest beside the US? Yes, you guessed it, Canada. Then Australia, the UK, China, Italy, Portugal, United Arab Emirates, Sweden, Mexico, Japan, Puerto Rico, Afghanistan, Israel, and Vietnam. And then it goes on to add up to 78, but then it moves into some places where there's like two people listening and so, in some island in, you know, in Antarctica or something. But why am I even bringing this up? Good question. Okay. I'm basically making a little call out here. If you are one of those foreign listeners and you are a foreign investor, I'd like to talk to you, and I would invite you to email me or call me. All that information is available at our website at olddogsreinetwork.com. And I would love to talk to you and maybe even do a show with you if you feel like you have a good handle on investing in the U.S. from a different country. Now, I know there's going to be different rules and laws and regulations depending on the country, but I think this is a great idea that Gerardo has of really zeroing in on this area, because there are a lot of foreign investors that invest in the U.S. Our recent syndication, we had a number of folks from out of the country, and so this is a good area. So if you are one of those that would like to share some of your success stories and maybe some tips for those that are foreign investors, we would love to hear from you. Well, that is it for today, gang. Please note everything I mentioned in here, and there are going to be some links that should be valuable for you, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for this month's Ask Bill episode. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.